Blog Talk Radio.
I pray that everyone is well this morning. Wanted to get together for those that are interested in continue to talk about this land purchase. The Most High has been dealing with me on some things concerning this and doing it a little bit different than what I had originally. What I had originally thought he wanted me to do it. He wants me to do this in two separate purchases. So I want to get together, you know, and just talk about it, you know, so and understand, so we can understand the rationale behind it. But also, sort of,
we just a lot of echo.
All right, amen. So, good morning, Sister Reyes, Sister Mary, Sister Denise.
Good morning.
Amen. Good morning. Sounds like Sister Denise having problems over there. Yeah, let's pray in. And, you know, I just want to openly discuss this. See what the Most High tells you concerning this. You know, I want you to pray on it. I'll give you the rationale behind why he wants me to do this, why he put it in my heart this way. Let me have Sister Rhea to pray us in this morning. Sister Rhea, are you there? If you're there, you're on mute. All right. Sister Mary, let me have you to pray us in.
Okay, brother, let me do this. Good morning, our Heavenly Father. Father, thank you in the name of Yeshua, allowing us to get together and to discuss our land development. Thank you, Father, for Brother Miles, Sister Denise, Sister Rhea, and just about everyone that's on the line. And that's about you, Father. We're here today to do your will, your business, and need your guidance. In Yeshua's name, amen.
In Yeshua's name, amen. All right, amen. Wanted to, you know, and thank you for that, my sister. You know, I want this to be an open discussion. And we're just talking, you know, no decisions have to be made today. But what the Most I put on my heart was I'm just split this purchase. So I'm still going to purchase 200 acres, but I'm going to purchase 36 acres separate and apart from, physically separated and apart from the main land purchase. And that would be a pub, that land purchase that is separate, those 36 acres will be publicly known. The rest of the land won't be known where it's located. And so the goal is to make that 36 acres productive as far as commercially, and to promote, you know, Yah's Global Kingdom, but as a campground for our people. And then, if at all possible, you know, there's other ideals that have been floating through my mind, that we can make this particular land, you know, workable and where we actually can make a living from it, that it supports the other project. So I have been looking at this land, and you know, the Most I said, don't get it all together. Get one separated at another site, and then, you know, you can still do what it is that you need to do. Because we don't want the main site actually known where it's at. So what do you guys think about that?
Okay, that sounds all right to me, because like you said, when you divide it like that in the workable part, well, that could be like our income pretty much.
Right. The first site will be for income, and the the thing is that we got to have there's got to be like a public face to it, where people know that it exists, but what it's supporting on the back end, is nobody else's business.
Right. Right. I also like how you said that everybody's not going to come and we don't tell everybody. I like that.
Amen.
Because people don't understand, it's going to be crucial. People that you think that's not going to do things is going to start doing things. That's not right.
It's true.
Amen. Amen.
So, you just can't tell everybody your stuff.
Right. Well, I don't want everybody knowing, where the main site is. And it will be, far enough distance apart that they're not just going to happen upon it.
Right.
And, as far as a campground, for our people to meet, on the feast days, not just Yah's Global Kingdom, but, Hebrews in general. So, the public in general. I would, that site, having it available and making it to where the feast days are blocked out strictly for, Hebrew Israelite usage to come together and worship the Most High. And so I looked at, these big tents that, would support big meetings, have one there that can either be put up and taken down or that is there, for the most part on a permanent basis, that would weather, be able to weather the storms, different organizations could rent that out, for different meetings, but then the whole goal would be that it's a campground type of environment. So still looking at details, but I think that it's doable. So I was going to put out some feelers, on Facebook and some other places to see what would be the general interest in it. If people would, would support it or do it. But then also not just camping there. There may be some opportunity. I want to do something with at-risk teens. So those that are in trouble, they may be having some problems. If I can look and find a grant that would help put up the facilities, to build certain facilities that that they could come and work the land as far as farming and that kind of stuff. But as part of, part of a therapy, and that it'd be spiritual based, but not like the 12-step program. Similar to that, but not like the 12-step program, because I don't want them making up their own God.
Amen.
So, this would be focused on, those youth that are in the school to prison pipeline. We'd have to have trained staff. That's why I would think that I would need to get, get a grant. I don't have that kind of money for this particular type of project, for salaries and things like that. But I think I could write it such that if I could write it such that, you know, we could get the grant money to put the facilities up, you know, and the electrical and all this kind of stuff, because it'd take a lot of money to bring that in to an area that rural. But it would also support, you know, at the same time, through the grant, then the campground and all that kind of stuff, it would support that as well. So, you know, just ideals that to make this profitable so that all of the profit then feeds into the other property and doing those things that, you know, we need to get done.
So by you trying to get the grant, is the grant for, I'm asking that all wrong.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up. So could you say that again?
Well, I was saying it all wrong. I'm glad you didn't hear me. For the other land, in order for, can we get like grants for to say that we're helping people?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know nothing about all these, you know, grants and stuff. But should be some kind of way that. But you said we try to keep the government out of that.
Yeah, the government can't be a part of this other land, the other land.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay, but the smaller land is what.
The smaller land, the 36 acres is a lot of acres.
Oh, okay.
And you know, it allows it in such a chunk that it allows a lot of different options. So the public face of this that 36 acres is what we would want to, you know, what I would probably go get a 501c3. Because if I'm getting grants, then I can't do it up under the 508 that I have. I have to do it up under a 501c3, which, you know, that portion of it, even though, because it's commercialized, then I would have to do it up under a 501c3. But I don't want the other land, the other 100 and some odd acres, 170 some odd acres to be, under government control at all.
Gotcha.
Nothing to do with the government.
Okay.
So the 36 acres, which would, as I said, be geographically separated from the other land, and I, you know, I have to make sure that what I'm saying that I can do, I can actually do on this land. But this is, you know, the Most High saying, have a public side and then have a side that nobody is aware of. Only those people, individuals that have a need to know, who are, you know, who have bought into the vision and who, you know, they're in. Then we would have two things going on at one time.
Mm.
So, you know, the 36 acres is enough, you know, for a campground, you know, and to put up, you know, a real large tent that could hold maybe 500, 600, 700 people. I don't know what COVID, you know, open air or what have you, but, you know, if people are coming for the feast days, like if they come for Passover, or if they come for Pentecost or for Tabernacles, those, you know, all the feast days of the Most High, I want to make it, you know, where those days are automatically blocked out on the calendar, you know, dedicated to people who are coming to worship that way. The rest of the year, if, you know, it can be open to the rest of the public. You know, making money off of our own people. But, you know, anybody that's in that area and wants to camp, then, you know, we want to make it available to them. as you know, as a money generator. So, you know, but as far as the other acreage, because I think the campground, let's say if I took 18 acres, which is half of it, and dedicated to the campground, the other half of the property could be actually used for the other project, which is, you know, the healing and treatment for our at-risk youth. And so, you know, it would, I would have to talk to some people, but what I envision and see is, you know, they come there and they it's just like they're in a substance abuse treatment facility, but it's to treat different things, you know, that whatever is ailing them, and most of it, I believe, is, so, you know, there's going to be a spiritual component to it that we deal with and help them to identify who they are and to treat those things that they have gone through, whatever that may be. So, but also, you know, having to try funding to help them to get there. Because, you know, a lot of, you know, when it's something like that, then typically most insurances won't cover it. But there are people I know who will donate and those types of things. And there may be some grant, you know, that if, like I said, depends upon how it's written. You know, because we have to start trying to recoup our youth.
Mm-hmm.
We have to. And so we need to have something that is in place. And like I said, it generates jobs for those of us who are interested in doing it, different capacities. But it will allow us to help our youth and start to help them to heal from the standpoint of not what this world is saying, but what the Most High is saying. So, you know, I don't know any other way to reach them. Because our youth are in trouble. I have no knowledge of, you know, the Most High, and no knowledge of who they are. And a lot of them coming out of broken homes and, you know, all kind of things and have no foundation. So, but just food for thought.
Yeah.
So, but I think the campground aspect of it, I don't know anywhere else in the U.S. that our people go at all for, you know, to, as a group to celebrate the feast day. And just because, you know, we may call on a different name doesn't mean that we can't come together.
Amen.
So, I think it's a viable ideal. I think that, it will be workable. It's just a matter of, you know, getting the, you know, the right advertising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, to get it out there in front of people and, you know, have people talking about it.
Yeah. That's where the commercializing comes in at, right?
Right.
Right. Right. But you know what, Brother Miles? Our people got a lot of problems. You know that? Because right now, as we speaking on this phone, the young couple down the hall is fighting. The kids are hollering. I mean, it's just crazy. What is wrong with us?
You know, we are just, how the scripture says it, we're spiritually broken. And that one aspect leads to everything else. You know, broken relationships, that couples that actually love each other but don't know how to, you know, don't have any really foundation for solving relationship problems. And, you know, when it comes to, you know, the most problems in the relationships usually stem from what? Financial.
Financial.
And so, you know, as, you know, one of the things that the Most High put on me concerning the community, and not the commercial side of the community, but the community where, you know, nobody can know, we don't want people to know what we're doing, is to give people a purpose. Give them a stake in, you know, their survivability. To teach them the skills that, you know, like just to how to grow our own food and those types of things. So we're coming up and we're in a society where the society has never cared about us, has never offered us any mental health concerning our post-slavery problems. That's what, you know, how I first got into this PTSS anyway. And every generation, you know, if you're sick and you're raising children, let me, how do I say this? If you have some... If we got some mental issues, and we do, stemming from that, and we're having children, we can't be raised, if we, what do they call that? If we are, what I'm looking for here. I'll just say it this way. If we got issues, and then we're bringing children into the world, we can only pass those issues to those children. There's no way that we can have, you know, dysfunctional. I just put it that way. And so, you know, we have to, our healing is in the Most High for our people. No two ways around it. And, you know, a lot of us don't want to, a lot of the young don't want to hear that. And
they don't want to hear it.
Right, but, you know, the truth of the matter is, if they are in a program, like I said, the school-to-prison pipeline, and I have to sit down and actually think of how to write this, but if we can intercept them in that pipeline, because they're in trouble already, bring them outside of the system to show them a different way. Show them, to allow them to experience something that they can't experience in the big city. Something about being out in nature and, you know, taking people out of that environment that, you know, with the proper, I don't want to say indoctrination, but it kind of is that way. To show them that they do, that they have value, and that, you know, the world is not all just this one way, and it's all a matter of perspective. But also that they have to, that this is their Elohim, this is their God. So that they will come back and come into a relationship with him. properly. So, you know, we are dysfunctional. And, you know, we have children, we do the best we can out of that dysfunction. And, you know, we think may think we have done a good job, and only to find out that, hey, we were dysfunctional and didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, you know, we cause our children to be this way. But, you know, a lot of the times, the parents, you know, it's hard to reach the parents. A lot of the times, in some cases, it's just too late. But, you know, the youth, we have to have something in place where we are addressing the youth. And I believe that, you know, as part of a healing for them is to, you know, have a place where they can come and be in a totally different environment and deal with some of the issues that they're dealing with. But, you know, they're going to have professional help. Because we have real mental issues.
Amen.
So, you know, and I want to be able to get them that professional help. But also at the core of it is bringing them back into a right relationship with the Most High. So let's deal with, you know, the pain and the agony. Let's deal with the abuse. But then also at the same time, teach them about Elohim and the God of the Bible and who they are as a people. And cause and effect. Because for most people, the Most High is not real.
Mm.
He's not real to them. So we want to introduce them, you know, and we won't be able to save everyone. But we got to at least try. So, you know, even for our own, you know, for the grown-ups, you know, for the feast days, having seminars and things like that to deal with and address the problems that we go through in a real way. Give people the proper tools that they need to address physical abuse, mental abuse, how to govern and how to, you know, do their finances. You know, just like for the Feast of Tabernacles, there's a lot of things in a week that you can cover. Get the right people there, you know, and you know, just be offering these different seminars to address the real issues that we're having, whether it's depression or, you know, whatever it is. Give us a chance to start working on those things we really need to work on. That uniquely, you know, that are uniquely our problems. But that is, you know, like I said, is something that the Most I put on my heart look into. All right. So we are really quiet.
I was saying, hello, hello.
I'm listening. All right,
yeah, we can hear you.
I got a little input I'm trying to put in.
Right. It's just information
I'm sorry, say that again.
I said just information trying to process it.
Oh, amen. It is. I'm going to say that the youth thing is going to be, it's a long-term project. The initial goal is like the campground, because it's the easiest thing to do. And it's more easily achieved and reachable. And so, you know, that would be the first thing. But the end, you know, like I said, we have to reach out and we have to start doing things, you know, to help our people heal. And we want to use the land as part of that. Figure out a way to do it. But like I said, the campground aspect of this, I mean, that's doable now. I just have to make sure that I can do it on that land before I say, you know, yeah, that's where we're headed.
Okay.
Because sometimes, you know, I have to look at access roads and all kind of things to see if there's even, you know, because it is rural, what kind of highways and, you know, directions to get there, kind of access there is. And then I have to look at probably not in the beginning providing electricity, but eventually providing electricity to the property. I don't think that I can do it on my own in the capacities that we would need for however many people. And, you know, so I'd have to determine how large that, you know, the campsite would be. And I know that, you know, people go places where there's no electricity, but I'm sure we would draw more if there's electricity on the property. Because, you know, some people have RVs, they have whatever that they can plug in. So not a lot of us, but some of us do. So I'm just looking at those things. I will get that information within the next couple of weeks. I will definitely, you know, get the information concerning that and what's possible and what's not. What's possible and what's not. And and if they say, oh, you can't do such and such, then I would just have to figure out a way. It's all in how you word it.
True.
So, you know, words are important. And so how you say you're doing something, a lot of the times it's the difference between a yes and a no.
Mm-hmm.
So, I will look into it and see, you know, read all the relevant regulations and what have you. And then go forward one way or the other. You know, even if we say that it's a family thing. I will look at it and see what has to be done. But that's what the Most High has put on my heart. Definitely to have one parcel completely separated from the main purchase. And he'll, you know, I'm sure, I know he will work it out since he said to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's where I'm at on that, you know. And like I said, I put out some feelers on Facebook, and I don't really like Facebook. I guess I need to get more involved with it, but that's where it seems most of our people are at, doing everything.
Yeah,
they are out there. I'm looking at some of the stuff. I'm like, good grief. you know, and people living their lives out there.
Yep.
Yes.
You know, that there has there's a spirit behind that. And I just got to see what this spirit is, because our people have a need to have everybody know, you know, what they're doing on a daily basis. There's a spirit behind
blogging.
Hmm?
Is that what they call blogging or tracking? What do they call that?
I guess it's blogging, but I think it's something, I think it's, there's a spirit behind that.
Yeah.
And I just need to ask Most High to identify it to me so I know how to address it. Because, you know, birthdays and where they're going to eat and who they're in a relationship with and, you know, all this kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, because I had to tell my niece to stop putting her babies on that. She had put her babies all on that every day. Everything they do, they start walking, she put them on there.
Right.
They start laughing, she put them on there. I say, stop putting the baby on Facebook. Now they come up missing, then you're going to wonder why they come up missing.
Amen. Amen. Because a lot of our children do come up missing, and we never hear nothing about it.
Yeah,
they don't
right.
make a big deal out of it like they do it for somebody else.
That's right.
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 So, yeah, we have to be very careful. But, you know, we seem to have this need to... It's just like for us to say that we are Hebrew Israelites. We have a need for people to know that.
Right.
And for us to know who we are, we got an identity crisis.
Mm.
And I guess, you know, as a people, we want to know that we matter or something. So, and that may be the spirit that is behind all this. But, you know, it's not just us in that case, but... that spirit is there.
Mm.
So I'm just, it's where we're at. And if I'm going to go out fishing, I guess maybe I need to test those waters. But, it just, you know, for me, Facebook is just, it's just a mess.
It is. It's disgusting. Yeah.
So I've never wanted to get involved with it because I don't want mess.
Hmm.
Right.
Time for that kind of stuff. And then, you know, you start associating with people and you get associated with people that you don't know nothing about.
Nothing about.
True.
And they're doing something, then the government or whoever thinks you're doing it too.
They respect on you.
Right. So, you know, I don't care if people understand or know that I identify as a Hebrew Israelite. I had a conversation with my manager Friday because, you know, I was telling I should have taken off this entire week. For Tabernacles, I took the first day, you know, the two holy days off. I said, but technically speaking, I said, I probably should have taken all these days off. And so, you know, she's Muslim, a sister, but, you know, she never really knew a whole lot about this aspect. I said, well, I said, you know, this is what I believe, and, you know, I don't, you know, I can still consider myself, quote, unquote, to be a Christian, but just not in the way that most Christians are Christian. And I don't see that as a negative term, but, you know, I know a lot of our people do. So from the English standpoint, you know, I believe in Christ. I believe in his discipline. and following him, so that would make me a Christian. But, you know, the Christian faith don't believe everything the way that I believe it and understand it. So it's hard to say that I'm a Christian. And a lot of our people have a problem with that identity. So you say you're Messianic, say you're a Christian, you know, say you're a Hebrew Israelite, and say you believe in Christ, but have a problem being called a Christian in a way I see it, in a way I don't. So I understand people who fight against that title, but the truth of the matter is, if you call him Christ and you say you follow him, that you believe in him, then you technically are a Christian. And a lot of us don't like to be called that.
You know what, Brother Mike? I don't do the play on words thing. I believe in the Father in my creature. I believe in these words in this book. I believe I'm supposed to be doing what this book says. I don't play words.
Amen. A lot, but you know, a lot of us do play words.
Yeah.
And they use it to divide, use it to try to puff each other, you know, put somebody down or puff up.
Right, because they're proud of being a Hebrew. But if you actually
right.
know what you did, why are you so proud? You disobeyed. Why are you proud? You proud that you disobeyed?
Because they don't really know what that means.
Oh.
They don't really know, you know, when it's that, you know, when the script, when you say that you believe in the curses of Deuteronomy 28, and then you can still be puffed up, something's wrong.
Something's wrong.
Right. There's something wrong with the way you're processing, the way you're processing the information that you have. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's more about you than it is about the Most High.
Amen.
Because you want to take you know, credit for the Most High choosing you, but you don't really want to take credit for what your forefathers did and what that really actually means, what the implication of it is. So, you know, and I talk to a lot of brothers that, you know, when I get on them about it, they brother, why are you so down on us? I'm like, look. I said, how can you be proud of treating the Most High this way?
Amen.
Yeah.
How can you be proud of what our forefathers did? I said, to me, you got the problem. Tells me that you don't really give a damn about what the Most High, what he thinks or feels. It's all about you.
Oh.
And well, you know, I said, look, if you can't see this thing from the side of the Most High, then I said, you have a problem. I'm not the one with the problem. You have the problem because we have offended him. Our forefathers offended him, and it don't mean anything to you.
Look, inquiries has kept a lot of us offended him right now.
Amen. Amen.
If you say Hebrew.
Yep. Amen. So, you know, like I said, I was talking in a room yesterday, and you know, our people, we are so indoctrinated. I want to say in the Christian faith, but we say we understand the statutes, laws, and commandments, but the Most High is not allowing them to see. You know, they just think everybody's going to qualify for the kingdom. And they think that, you know, everybody's going to get up in the first resurrection. And I said, well, he tells us right here who qualifies for what resurrection. I said, you can read all that stuff. And I said, and it gives you what's going to happen, bits and pieces. I said, but here is the overview right here in Revelation chapter 20. He tells you who qualifies for what. And I said, the truth of the matter is, you either qualify for Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4, or you qualify for Revelation chapter 20 and verse 5. Those are the only two groups.
Hmm.
everything else in the scriptures, you know, concerning, you know, the dead rising in Christ, you know, at the last trump, I said all these things are summarized right here.
Mm.
I said, so if you read this, I said, because the, how do I say this? When the Most High showed this to me, you know, I was like, wow, but, you know, people have been taught the version of salvation that if you're in Messiah, then everybody in Messiah is going to be resurrected at his return. And this is what they're taught. And I said, well, I said, my question to any of you is, if Messiah doesn't resurrect you the first resurrection, and he resurrects you the second resurrection, and gives you eternal life, did he keep his promise to you? And they have to say yes. I said, well, then when you go back and look at these scriptures, then you have to understand that everybody is not going to give their, lose their life for the word of God or for the testimony of Christ. Everybody's not going to, everybody's not going to have the chance to resist the Antichrist. You got to be living and go through that to qualify for that. So if Antichrist don't come right now, none of us qualify for that. That means that in order to get into that first group, we have to have given our lives literally for the word of the Most High or the testimony of Christ. There's not very many people that have done that. You know, we believe in him. We live. We serve. But he says we had to suffer with him. And how many of us can say that, you know, he, you haven't even been tempted unto blood. Ain't no, you ain't shed no blood in your walk.
True.
So, you know, we want the reward, and we want, you know, we want the reward that with the crown, you know, the crown and the throne, we don't want to have to pay the price that he says is required for that reward. We just want, you know, it's going to be given to us. And I said, so, you know, I don't know if my view is skewed, but this is the way the Most High has shown it to me. It says right here, he says, these people, this group of people qualifies for the first resurrection. And they get to reign with him 1,000 years. There's no, I don't have to question that. I can see, you know, all these other aspects and all these other groups. I can see, you know, that I know the scripture says that at the last trump, the dead in Christ rise. But which dead? They think that as, they take that as a all. But the scripture, you know, the other scripture is actually giving us a definition of who that is. All we got to do is read it and believe it. So, you know, I know human nature is to want to qualify for the greatest reward. And we read, we cherry pick scripture, but we're not reading it all of the scripture and putting it in context. So, you know, I was just telling her, I said, brothers and sisters, I said, the scripture is telling us this right here. You can't use other scripture to undo it. You got to understand that this is an overview. And he's telling you that these are the people that qualify. So all those other events have, you know, those people have to roll into this group. I don't care if it's 144,000. They would have had to resist it, the Antichrist, to qualify for a crown. So, you know, everybody wants to get up. But, let me read this right here. And like I said, it to me, this is critical to our understanding and our walk. It's critical to our expectation. You know, what is the expectation that we are setting? And what is the truth that we're looking for? So when we read Revelation chapter 20, and we put it in its proper context, this is an overview, but it gives a timeline. So everything else that you've read before, it's going to have to fall in here somewhere. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and go there, Revelation chapter 20. Because to me this is so plain, I'm like, how can you not see this? How can you know we have? But I know why we can't see it, because we have a need. We have a need to be something else. We have a need to want to feel like we qualify somewhere else. So when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Start in verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, this is an overview. The angel, Michael, is going to come and bind Satan for what? 1,000 years. Okay? And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. Set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more. For how long?
Till the 1,000 years shall be fulfilled.
Amen. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So we know that Satan's going to be thrown into the bottomless pit. He's not going to be able to deceive the nations for 1,000 years or one day. Okay? And after that 1,000 years, he must be loose, a little season. It says, now verse 4, and I saw the throne, and they sat upon them. Well, I saw the thrones, and who is the they? Because it says, and they sat upon them, the throne. So we need to find out who the they is. And judgment was given unto them. Them, it goes back to they, the ones that are on the throne. And now it's going to explain who they are. And I saw the souls of them that were what?
I'll let you guys hear it.
For Jesus.
For what?
For the witness of Yeshua.
And?
And for the word of Yah.
Which had not received the word.
Okay, so let's hold on for a minute. We got a group of people here who are on thrones, and these people were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua, and for what? The word of Elohim. Now, to be beheaded or killed, that don't apply to us right now, right?
Nope.
No.
Okay. And which had not done what?
Worship the beast.
Neither his
image.
Neither had received his mark
in their forehead or in their hands.
And they lived in what?
They reigned
with Christ
for 1,000 years.
Okay, so we got a group of people who are either been killed for the witness of Yeshua, or for the word of the Most High, and which had not worshipped the beast, nor his image, neither have received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. This is a specific group of people. Now, you have to be alive for, this is the Antichrist. You have to be alive to even qualify for the second group. So we got the first group, they're killed for the witness of Yeshua and for the word of God. And then we got this other people who had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received the mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. They don't name anybody else. And it says, and they reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So you either are in this group or you are in the next verse. The next verse says, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years was finished. So you either qualify for verse 4 or you qualify in verse 5. You either in the group in verse 4, the groups in verse 4, or you are with the rest of the dead.
Amen.
That means that you didn't live and reign with him of what? 1,000 years.
1,000 years.
Because you don't even get resurrected again until what?
After the 1,000 years.
This is the first resurrection.
Amen.
Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the death has no power. And shalom, Sister Rachel, Brother Obadiah.
Shalom.
Good morning. Okay, we are in Revelation chapter 20. Verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death is the lake of fire, has no power. But they shall be priests of Elohim and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So everybody in verse 4 who qualifies in verse 4 get to reign with him, what, 1,000 years. And they are not subject to the lake of fire. But what does that say about the rest of the dead? They are still subject to the lake of fire. So if you are killed for the witness of Messiah or for the word of Yah, the Most High says, you have suffered with, he died for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
We would have died for him.
Amen. Amen, brother.
We would have suffered with him.
Amen.
And see, this is one of those things that we read it in the scripture, but we sort of read over it. We don't take it in. At least this is what I'm finding people to do. Let me see if I can find this. Let me look up something real quick. We're going to go there and we'll come back here. See, we read these things, but like I said, we don't really pick up on it. Go to Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans chapter 8.
Amen.
We're going to get verse 17. All right, thank you. Everybody else there?
Amen, brother.
All right.
Amen.
Romans chapter 8, verse 17. And this is talking about, you know, us being filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and our being heirs to the kingdom. And if children, then heirs. Yes. Heirs of Elohim and joint heirs with Christ. Now it gives us an if condition. If so be that we what?
Suffer with him.
that we may also be glorified together. Brother, you went through the same thing I did. They killed you just like they killed me. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 12. And when you have it, you say amen.
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 All right. If we suffer, we shall also what?
Reign
with him.
If we deny him, he also will also deny us. Okay. Now, we think that what? Living a holy life is suffering? We thinking that because we can't do everything the world do, that's suffering? No, that's not suffering. So he tells us what that suffering is in Revelation chapter 20. Let's go back there. And when you're back there, say amen.
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 Let's read verse 4 again, because if we suffer with him, and I saw the thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. If you got beheaded, you suffered.
Amen.
For the witness of Yeshua and for the word of Elohim. When Antichrist comes on the scene, trust me, if you don't take the mark, he's going to have you killed. He's going to have you imprisoned and tortured. Did not worship the beast, neither his image, neither have received his mark upon their forehead or in their hand. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So they suffered with him. They didn't get salvation. They didn't just get salvation and, you know, come to church or camp meeting and, you know, worship the Most High. And, you know, they had to give up all the sinful things that they were doing. If they think that they're suffering because of that, if they think that that's suffering, then they really don't want any part of this relationship, because this is just a way of life. It's not suffering. Even if people condemned you, you're not, he says, hold on a minute. I'm going to get one more verse. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll start in verse 1. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right. Starting in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed or surrounded about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of Elohim. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. He came to save sinners, and the sinners did what? Put him to death. I come to save you, and you kill me? And consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. You have not yet resisted unto what? Striving against sin. How many of us have been hit in the head because we're trying not to sin, you know, draw blood because we're trying not to sin? Say none of us.
None of us.
Okay, so we haven't resisted, we haven't been bloodied because we were trying to keep people from sinning, or we were trying to keep sinning from sinning ourselves. the Messiah was killed trying to, what, stop people from sinning,
mm-hmm.
trying to get them to turn back to the Most High. He says, now, I come into the world to save the world from sin, and the sinners, this is a contradiction, the sinners killed me. The one I'm trying to save killed me. And so we think, you know, we think that just living a holy life and not sinning is suffering.
Hmm.
We think that that qualifies us for the first resurrection. We think that that qualifies us for a throne. He said, uh-uh. So let's go back to Revelation chapter 20. Book of Revelation chapter 20, and we're going to keep reading. So you either qualify for verse 4, or you qualify in verse 5. So you're either going to have given your life literally for the word of Yah or the testimony of Christ, literally been killed for it, or you're going to fall in with the rest of the dead. Because when Antichrist comes, the scripture says everybody who is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life takes the mark of the beast. That disqualifies them for verse 4. And all those who don't take the mark of the beast are killed. That qualifies you for what? Verse 4. Let's see, I think this is in Revelation chapter 11. I thought maybe it's 14. Let me. Go to Revelation. Go to Revelation chapter 13. We're going to get Revelation 13 and Revelation 14. When you have it, we're going to start in verse 1. You say amen.
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 All right, starting in verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and his great authority. This beast is a nation, okay? But we got to understand something about the beast. When in the scripture, the beast is both, it's a system, it's a man, it's a nation. And so the scriptures identify different parts of this beast. Right now he's telling you that this beast that's coming up, and he's a conglomeration of nations with 10 kings. And I saw one of his heads as if it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. Now the dragon, that's Satan. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is like unto this nation? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against Elohim, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. So, you know, when we did our study on Revelation, I showed you guys that the Antichrist, all the plagues that come, the Most High protects his people from it. But then when it comes to the Antichrist himself, we read that he's given power over the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all the kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not what?
Written.
Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. So if you are not written, if your name is not in the Lamb's book of life, you're going to take the mark. And you're going to worship him. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So, number one, we got to know this. Number two, well, I'm going to read this, and I think it's coming up in these verses. Because, see, a lot of us want to escape, okay? We're looking for an escape. But if you are faithful to the Most High, I'm going to show you where you would qualify for Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. And I beheld another beast come up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. So there's two horns like a lamb. This is a religious system. And he spake as a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven out of the earth in the sight of men. And he deceived them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. So we know that the Antichrist, Satan is going to cause, this false religion is going to cause people to worship the beast. And the people are going to believe because they see what? Miracles. And if you are not, if you don't belong to Mashiach, you're going to fall for it. You got to really belong to him. Or else you're going to fall for it. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should speak. So this is like a statue, or we've heard of artificial intelligence, right? And those robots that they're trying to make look human and give them, you know, make them act just like a person. And he caused that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be what?
Be killed.
So if you don't take the mark of the beast and you don't worship the image of the beast, what's going to happen to you?
You are going to die.
You're going to escape.
No.
No.
You're going to be raptured off the earth.
Oh, no.
No.
Okay, because this is what the churches are teaching. Okay? This is what causes people to believe what they're believing. But the scriptures don't say that. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their forehead. So you either worship the beast or you take this mark. You either worship the beast or you are killed. You either take this mark or you are killed. That no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark in the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. Go to chapter 14. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the mount of Zion with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto Elohim and unto the Lamb. Now I have brothers telling me the Most High is going to make them virgins again. I was like, no, brother, you know what, a woman, you don't qualify. All right? Don't be changing the scripture up. You have a desire to be something, but, you know, we disqualify ourselves when we do certain things. And in their mouths is found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of Elohim. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. That's why this gospel has to go out. And to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear who?
Yeah.
Fear. Yeah.
Fear.
This gospel of fearing Elohim is going to become stronger and stronger. It can't just be me.
Thank you.
And give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. So the gospel that's going to go out in the last days, and thank you, Yah, is to fear Elohim. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all the nations to drink of the wine and wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive the mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of Elohim, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascend it up forever and ever. This is talking about everybody who takes the mark goes where? To the lake.
Ooh.
That's their judgment, the lake of fire. And the smoke of their is up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night. Who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. And here are they that keep the what?
Of Yah.
Faith of Yeshua. So we have to understand what we're supposed to be keeping. Because if we don't keep them, we disqualify ourselves. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write. Now, I want us to hear this. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which do what in Yah?
Add. In Yeshua.
Which are raptured, which escape, which make
isn't
it
into
the
wilderness. Isn't that the great tribulation? Isn't that the great tribulation, those 3.5 years to flee and those that are not able to flee?
Yeah, this,
are the ones
this
that
is,
get tried?
Yeah, this timing on this is in the great tribulation, but the Antichrist is going to be given power over the saints.
Right.
And so this is how you qualify for Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. If we are alive when Antichrist comes, then we are not to take the mark. And if our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, then he says we won't take the mark. But we're going to do what? Die. We don't want to hear that portion of it. We want to hear we're going to escape into the wilderness. So, right, blessed are the dead which die in Yah from henceforth, from this time forward. Yea, saith the spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So this is how you qualify for Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. You don't take the mark of the beast. He's going to have you killed. And that will qualify you for Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. That will qualify you for a throne. You will have suffered with who? Messiah. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Now, watch what happens here, because here is the resurrection right here, the first resurrection. And an angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, "Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Now, everybody in the world during this time is going to get a chance to make a choice. You're either going to worship the beast and live, or you're going to not worship him and what?
And die.
And when everybody has made their choice and has suffered with Christ, those that are going to suffer with him, then he reaps. That means you are resurrected. You are. This is the first resurrection. That's why he says, if we go back to this verse, I think it's go back to this verse 13. And I heard the voice from heaven saying unto me, "Right, blessed are the dead which die in Yah from henceforth." Because you're going to get resurrected, and far as you're concerned, immediately. Because, you know, when we die, it's like going to sleep. And we wouldn't have been dead for thousands of years. So our last thought would have, our last remembrance would have been being killed by the Antichrist, and then we awaken again. But we cannot fear that death, because he says those that will save their lives will do what?
Lose it.
It's all over the scripture. It don't change. And so we can't be afraid of death. We have to believe that Messiah and the Most High, we have to believe that the Most High is able to and will resurrect us. We want to qualify for a throne. We want to qualify for the kingdom. We want to reign with him 1,000 years. Then we must be willing to suffer with him. So this is what you know, the churches, they take the other scriptures, and they teach it in such a way that people think that they're going to escape this. But Revelation chapter 20, as I said, gives us, you can take all that prophecy and roll it up into Revelation chapter 20. And he tells you exactly who qualifies to reign with him. And then he tells you about the rest of the dead. So if you are alive, comes into the world, and he starts taking over the world, and they're going to be looking to they're going to be looking to kill everybody that don't worship the beast. And see, we can't escape that. What we are preparing for is the first 3.5 years of tribulation. Because that's judgment. That's the Antichrist himself coming, and he's going to have power over the saints. And then the second 3.5 years, Messiah is going to come. He's going to start judging the world. So the Antichrist is going to see who's lining up on whose side. And he's going to be given power over the saints. When you read the first 3.5 years of Revelation and all the, you know, the judgments that come, the Most High says, I'll protect you from my judgment. And I think I might have said that backwards. I have to look at that again. Yeah. Scratch what I just said. I think I said it backwards. Let me look at that. For some reason, I got a fog for some reason. Don't know why. But anyway, the bottom line is you cannot fear. So, you know, we fear pain. Nobody wants to suffer. But have any of us ever cut ourselves in such a way that when you first cut yourself, you didn't feel it?
Yep.
And then later you felt the pain, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, just pray to the Most High that your death be that way. That whatever is used, whatever mechanism it is, whether it's being beheaded or whether it's being shot, that you won't even feel it. You won't even feel it. Your body won't even register it. You will have lost consciousness before your body ever even registers that something happened. But you can't fear this death. Go back to Revelation chapter 20. I just wanted to show us this concerning the saints. This is how you qualify. Because you are either in Revelation chapter 4 or you are in Revelation chapter 5. This is why I love this chapter, because he's telling us exactly who qualifies for what. Then all the other prophecy rolls into this. So you're either in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, or you are in Revelation chapter 20, verse 5. Now, everybody in verse 4, they get resurrected during the first resurrection. So if you don't take the mark of the beast and you are killed, you qualify in verse 4, and you qualify for verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death, the lake of fire has no power, but they shall be priests of Elohim and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations. So now we got, in between verses 6 and 7, we have Messiah's reign, his whole entire reign, just happened. Just happened. 1,000 years, he's supposed to reign what? We're supposed to reign with him what? 1,000 years?
Oh, yeah.
And when the 1,000 years are expired, your reign is over. Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations. Now, what was this said? Because when we read this, the world has been up under the reign of Messiah for 1,000 years. And Satan is let loose. Now, we got to ask ourselves, who is this that got into the millennial kingdom, Messiah's kingdom? Who are these people that got in there? Because look and see what they do. Let's read this. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Wait a minute. This people, whomever this is, has been up under the rulership of Messiah for 1,000 years. Satan has not been able to influence them because he's been bound. And when he's loose, goes out to deceive these nations. What do these people do? And they went up on the breadth of the earth, all across the earth, and surrounded the camps of the saints about in the beloved city, Jerusalem. And fire came down from Elohim out of heaven and devoured them. So up under Messiah's reign, there's going to be a number of people as the sand of the sea. This is a great multitude of people, and they rebel. And who are they rebelling against? Messiah and his rulership. And they come up to attack the saints. Now, keep going. And so fire comes down out of heaven and devours them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night. Now, the beast and the false prophet came in during what? The tribulation. They are sent immediately to the lake of fire. But Satan himself, the dragon, he's locked up. And he's let out to show what's in the people's hearts. So now his time is up. He gets captured and thrown into the lake of fire. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. This would be Messiah, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. Who's the them? This is the rest of the dead, from verse 5. Let's prove that out. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Elohim. And the books were opened. So the rest of the dead are resurrected. You got to pay attention to the timing here, though. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, according to their works. So the rest of the dead are resurrected, and they're judged according to what they did. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their work. And death and hell, now death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Now everybody's eternal, good and bad. Everybody's eternal. Because what happened to death? It was cast into the lake of fire. What happened to hell? It was cast into the lake of fire. That means the end of those systems. They don't go into the lake of fire and start ruling. The lake of fire was designed for them because these are spirits. It's the sheriff. Hell is the jailer. Death comes and arrests you and throws you into jail. This system is done away with. It's thrown into the lake of fire, which was designed for spiritual what beings. This is the second death. Now, so I want us to pick up on this. Death and hell are done away with. There's no more death. There's no more hell, no more grave. Now let's read verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, was cast where?
Cast into the lake of fire.
So you can't die. This fire is designed for spiritual beings. You have been made a spiritual being, and you have been given eternal life. And if your name ain't in the Lamb's Book of Life, you get cast into the lake of fire, and you can't die. That's why he says, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth forever. Now, that's terrible. That's why he says, up under Moses, you got killed. But if you offend Messiah, he says, how much worse do you think the punishment is going to be? I'm going to make you eternal and put you in a fire that you can still burn you, but you can't die. That's torment.
Yeah, torment.
At least up under Moses' law, if they killed you, you lost consciousness. You didn't have a remembrance of it forever. But the Most High says, no, I'm going to wake you up. I'm going to give you eternal life, and I'm going to throw you in some fire that you can still burn you, but it won't kill you. You can't die. And the only thing you can do is gnash your teeth. That's worse. That's how much worse the punishment is. So we definitely don't want to take the mark of the beast. And now, what do you think is going to happen to all our children who don't know the Most High? What do you think is going to happen to all our people that don't know the Most High?
They're going to take their mark.
They're going to take the mark. That's why it's important that we do something. You know, we cannot do nothing. To try to reclaim our youth, to even try to reclaim our people who may not have been awakened yet. And then those that have been awake, you know, I am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt, I am not the Messiah. And so I don't want to have the Messiah syndrome. I got to save you. Only thing I can do is teach the word of the Most High. Each person has to make their own decision.
Yeah.
Each person has to hear truth and allow themselves to hear truth and then to walk in it. Because I used to have the Messiah syndrome. The Messiah had to show me, you can't change somebody's mind who I have chosen not to have their mind changed. So just do what I told you to do. Teach them, and whosoever will, whosoever I choose to unblind them. Because if I blinded them, you can't make them see. But all that I have chosen, I have opened their eyes. So we got to understand that as individuals. As a teacher, I had to understand. I used to try to teach so many different things to the same people a different way, praying that they would get it. And no matter how I taught it, they never got it. And the Most High says, and they ain't going to get it because it ain't my will that they do. And you can't make them get it. Just keep it moving. So, you know, this is one of those things that we as his people, he's going to save us from some things, and then we got to know that there's a time that's appointed to us. And when that time comes, then we got to be able to stand boldly and with strength and not shrink away from death.
Can I ask a quick question?
We know that he is faithful to what? Raise back up again.
Yeah. Can I ask a quick question?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm not worried about forgiving, but are you saying those that we're all going to die and the Father? I'm just trying to get this because I know, and you probably read First Thessalonians 4, 13 through 17 or 18.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to figure out. I'm at work, so I'm going in and out, so forgive me, I might be misunderstanding what you're saying. But are you saying that?
If we are alive when Messiah returns, okay, if we are alive when he returns and we have not, and the Antichrist hasn't made it to us, because he's going to be, his goal is to do what? To kill us, right?
Yes.
And if we survive and he doesn't get to kill us, or he doesn't, you know, doesn't throw us in prison, and Messiah cracks the sky, then we are captured up with those who were killed. We are resurrected and captured by Messiah, resurrected and up with him at that point. But you got to survive that long.
Right.
So everybody's not going to be killed, but the vast majority of us are going to be killed. I would rather for us to be prepared to die and be doing those things to survive than to not be prepared to die and get captured and then take the mark.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. That makes sense. Okay.
All right, amen. Yeah, because, you know, when Messiah cracks the sky at the last trump, if we have survived and we are not afraid to die, then if Antichrist finds us and tells us you're either going to take the mark or die, I'd rather for us to be prepared to die than to be caught up in escapism and thinking that, you know, well, we're going to escape, so, and that's our defense. Because if we get captured, we may not be prepared to die. And so, yeah, there are going to be some that escape. And, you know, we pray that the Most High keeps us, that we are, the, you know, in that group. But what if we're not?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, everybody looks for to be in that group that escapes. But clearly, Antichrist kills a lot of us. So if we feel like, you know, we're in the group, you know, and I can't blame people. I desire to be in the group that escapes too. If I don't have to die, why die? But we can't be afraid of it. Can't be afraid of it. So, but that answers your question, my sister, right?
Yes, it does.
All right, amen. So, you know, we want to prepare. I don't believe that the Most High gives us all these things in the scriptures and warns us that we would to do nothing. That's like I told you somebody's going to break in your house, and they're going to break in there at 10:29 on this date, and this is what they're going to be wearing, and then you go to sleep anyway. And you don't do nothing about it. So, you know, the scriptures are given to us to warn us, and we are to take steps, understanding that we're not trying to circumvent or prevent the word of Yah. But when he says run, what should you do?
Run.
Exactly. When he says get out of there, what should you do?
Get out.
Amen. So we just want to do those things that he is telling us to do, understanding that there's going to come a time that we could be discovered. And if we are, we can't be afraid of what's about to happen.
Yes.
And if we're not discovered, because Yah has said, I have covered you, you have been obedient, and I've covered you, and you're not going to see this this judgment. You're not going to, Antichrist is not going to be able to get at you. I pray that that's what he does. But if he doesn't, we can't, we still have to be doing what he said to do and be willing to, you know, not try to save our lives. Because that's when he says we will lose it. We'll take the mark and say, oh, you know, the Most High will understand. He's saying, I ain't understanding that. I've already told you.
Not really. Okay.
So, you know, but, you know, what I don't, I know we're preparing for a certain thing, but what I also know is that we have to continue to do the work. We can't just freeze up and say, okay, we're going to go into hiding and waiting on Messiah to return. We are to prepare, but we still have to go forth with the gospel. We still have to stay on our post. We still have to do what it is we're supposed to be doing. We still have to call men unto repentance. And we read in the last gospel is to do what? Fear Elohim. Did we miss that?
No, we didn't miss that.
So, you know, and that may be why the Most High has this so strong in my spirit, but I can't be the only one.
Nope, you're not. Not, bro.
Yeah, I can't be the only one. So, I know people get tired of hearing it. You know, is that all he's going to teach?
I hope so.
Well, I can tell you for sure.
Now, this is a need to know.
Amen. Yeah, this, you know, I cannot not teach.
Amen, bro.
I cannot not teach, and I cannot stop teaching it. It's like once the Most High really showed it, it's like, you know, it's like it turned on a switch. And it can't be turned off. So, you know, whether it pushes people away, it pushes them away. If it draws them, it draws them. I can only do what's assigned to me.
Amen. Amen, brother.
So, you know, expect more of the same. Just expect more of the same. Because we want this word, the fear of the Most High, to go out to every nation. And, you know, I pray that, I just pray the Father's will be done. So, as I think, concerning the land, Most High said, don't buy it all in one chunk. Buy it in two separate chunks. Take a parcel of it and buy it in a completely separate location and make that public and to commercialize it. And that will be the front end, but what's going on in the back end, only those who have committed will have a need to know. And the commercialized portion of it will support doing the things that we need to do for the back end, the land that nobody's supposed to know. And everything that we're supposed to get for it, you know, this front end will fund it. And we just have to be obedient to it. So that is, you know, really what we were talking about today, but we also, as I said, I don't know. The Most High has not given me a time frame. It gives me an urgency, but I don't know what the time frame is before Messiah's return. Messiah's not revealed that to me. He just put it in my heart that it's near, but I don't know exactly how near. I just know that we have to continue to do the work. And we are to prepare, but we're to continue to do the work. And we can't play around with it. Cannot. So as, like I said, as I check on the land, I'm going to check and see, make sure there's no restrictions or nothing that will hinder doing like the campground. And like I said, a lot of times it is, you know, words are important. And so it just may be the way that it's written that will allow us to do it or not. So I have to be smart about it. But that's what he's put on my heart. And then that we will be able to make a living from it to make it functional, because it can't, you know, it's going to take more than one person to do it. And that will, you know, help to fund the back end, which, you know, on the back end, that what he's put in my heart is that, you know, we wouldn't charge anybody to, for those who are committed to it, they won't be charged to come and stay there. It won't be charged for food, won't be charged for electricity, won't be charged for water. It's a community, and we all have to work toward, you know, making the community self-sufficient. And so as he allows it, as he blesses on the front end, then all the containers and the equipment that we will require, and he showed me a way, woke me up like 3 o'clock in the morning and had me to watch something on YouTube concerning how to farm the land and get it to produce a lot of food without using a lot of land. And so, you know, just learning those techniques so that we as a people can do this thing and be self-sufficient and nobody has to know where we're at. Nobody has to know where we're at, but we still use the other front end to continue to reach out. You know, again, my heart is for our youth. We want to preach the gospel to everyone, but we have a generation that I'm seeing and feeling like is just totally lost. Just totally lost. So we need to do some things, because it is just self-perpetuating. You know, and once people start going down a certain road, it's hard to break them out of that road. It's hard to break them off of that path. So we want to start reaching out, you know, to the younger generation. And I'm going to say the focus is probably going to be 25 years old and younger. But we have to do something to reach out to them. And again, it's going to be as many as the Most High shall call. Because I love those verses, but you know, I don't think people really hear those verses. Many are called. Who's doing the calling?
I tell
them. Amen. I couldn't understand what you said, myself.
And few are chosen.
But who's doing the calling?
Yeah.
Father.
Who's doing the choosing?
Father.
Amen. So many are called, but few are chosen. It's whoever he chooses. So we want to just be obedient, make the call, but we're not doing no choosing. Father's calling through us, and he's the one that's going to choose. This one is mine, this one is not. That being said, we're at the top of the hour. I want you to think about the things that we talked about concerning the land today. Even think about those things we talked about concerning Revelation. Be encouraged in your heart. Don't be afraid. Only thing you're supposed to be afraid of is your parents and the Most High.
Amen.
Five no more, the Most High. And we just want to be in the will of the Father and do what he asks us to do. So I pray that you be encouraged in your walk. I pray that truth in the scriptures gives you strength because, you know, he says you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. So we're not looking to escape. You know, we're looking to survive and to be in his will. And if it be his will,
let it be done.
Let it be done.
Amen.
So let's bow our heads. Father, yeah, we come before you right now. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for the unction in our lives and in our hearts, Father, to follow after you, to fear you, Father, in spirit and in truth. Father, we know that everything is within your power and is within your will. Father, we ask that everything that we do in obedience to you, that you would bless it, that you would give us favor, that you would be before us, that you would fight our battles for us. As we read on last night, Father, if we don't complain about the punishment, but accept it, that you said that you would once again remember the covenant that you had with our forefathers, our ancestors. So, Father, we come to you in the spirit of truth, seeking to keep your covenant, your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, your judgment. And we won't override you, Father. We will not let our righteousness exceed your righteousness. But you have said that is how we will judge. And Father, we pray for your blessing. We pray for your protection. We pray for your healing. We pray for your people, Father. As many as you should call, as many as you should open their eyes, we pray that you would send them and let them hear your true gospel and let them be convicted and to choose you. Father, keep us strong in you. Send not the spirit of weakness. But let it be you that strengthens us. Let us not waver. Let us not have any doubt. But let us be convicted and committed to the fulfilling of your word, Father. You are the Ancient One. You are the Creator and the Foreteller of the end from the beginning. And Father, we believe everything that you have said. We walk in this confidence. You are Elohim, and that you are Elohim all by yourself. And another voice will we not listen to.
Amen.
In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. So, amen. So we are going to We're going to dismiss on this morning. Think about those things. As I said, the Most High, you know, we want to really make honest, true attempt to call our youth. But we also want to proceed in this endeavor that the Most High set us our path on. We will get the land. We will buy two separate parcels. We'll buy 170-some-odd acres of land, and then we'll buy a separate 36 acres, separate and apart from it, far enough apart from it that it won't be identified, you know, besides the sellers. It won't be identified as being associated with each other. And we will make that separate 36 acres public and commercial. It will be the public face for what we're doing, and everything else, profits, everything else will be pouring into the back end to achieve those things so that our people are able to come as Yah gives them the insight or the vision, will be able to come and to be able to survive as long as they're willing to do the work. Because as the scripture says, those that are not willing to work should not eat. So nobody can ride for free. On Tuesday, we will continue in the newcomers book, and then we want to stay faithful and also start to finish finish in the newcomers book. We still got a lot of lessons to go, but also in the review of the new covenant and the old covenant. We want to finish up the old, bring those things into the new, document them, and, you know, hold ourselves accountable. You know, it's not just an exercise in civility or just to be doing something to do something. Yeah, homie, don't play that. I just don't have to be doing that. So, you know, I never like to do things just for the sake of doing them. You know, there needs to be a purpose and a reason behind it. And the reason and the purpose behind this is that we might understand the new covenant that we are in with the Most High. That being said, may the Most High encamp His angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. But I can't love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family.
Shalom.
Where are my glasses? Big grief.
I never fall away. Yahoo, I live with the water baptized, get dumped. I feel with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a bus. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishra God, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do? Without you, there's no me. I need a